TRE, and joining us on the line now is best-selling author Barbara Berger. She's back with us to talk about the importance of having healthy boundaries, finding your inner compass, and being assertive. How are you, Barbara?
Oh, I'm fine. Good to be back, Hannah.
It's lovely to have you back with us. So, inner compass, what does that mean?
Well, I call it the inner guidance that each one of us has. It's my sort of my symbol for our inner guidance. I call it the inner compass. And each one of us, each human being, we have an inner knowingness. You could say we have an inner sense of what feels right to us and what doesn't feel right to us. And when we're in harmony with what feels right to us, in other words, when we're in harmony with our integrity, it's then we are in alignment with who we really are. And that's why I call it an inner compass. It's like when you're in alignment with your integrity, it's like the compass is pointing north. Hmm. And when you're not in alignment with your integrity, then the compass is like, it's not pointing north, and it's actually saying to you, hello, hello, something's wrong here. And it's also important to understand the way the inner compass gives us information is through our emotions. And basically, we have two types of emotions. We have the good feeling emotions and the not so good feeling emotions. And when we have the good feeling emotions, in other words, when we feel a sense of ease and flow and comfort and joy, that's a signal from within that we're in alignment with our inner compass, where the compass is pointing north. We're in alignment with ourselves. And then when we feel the negative emotions, in other words, when we feel discomfort, when we feel that we're sort of off, that things don't feel well, right? When we're frustrated, irritated, angry, all these negative emotions are actually telling us that we're not living or our decision is not in harmony with what's best for us. So that's what I mean by the inner compass.
Mm. So is it similar to intuition then? If you kind of go into a room and you have a bad feeling, or even meeting someone for the first time and your intuition kicks in and you think, I don't trust this person. Is it all that kind of thing?
It is that kind of thing. Yes, it's another word for intuition, although intuition is not quite so specific. I've written actually a book called Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, where I really try to go into detail and be very, very specific so people know what I'm talking about. In other words, that it's a feeling of harmony, ease, and flow when you're in alignment with yourself. And you could say, okay, you go into a room and you feel discomfort, or that is your inner comfort, and we can call it intuition. So yes, the answer is yes to your question.
And do most people normally listen to their inner compass? Why would you not listen to your inner compass?
And that's the million-dollar question here. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't listen to their inner compass. They don't follow the messages, the signals that are coming from within. And as you know, I've been working as a coach and a therapist for many, many years, and I have discovered that the main reason people are not listening to their inner compass, are not following the guidance that is coming from within, is because they're afraid of other people's disapproval. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, you know, like if, for example, if you want to choose a career track that your family doesn't approve of, or if you want to marry someone who is another religion than your family and your family disapproves of it, or if you want to go into a same-sex relationship and you're, I mean, so there are all these different kinds of things that can become problematic for people when they worry about other people's disapproval.
Yeah.
And you can say people who get into this kind of conundrum, it's usually people who are overly responsible, or we could call them people pleasers. They want other people to like, love, support them. And of course, we all want that, but there's a limit to it.
Mm. It can be liberating, can't it, when you stop becoming so much of a people pleaser. It can be scary at first, but it can be liberating if you embrace it in the right way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in order to do that, we have to look at some of our basic beliefs and some of our basic understanding about, I call it the nature of reality, why people experience things the way they do. And one of the things that's really liberating in this connection is to understand that everyone is living in their own subjective bubble. Everyone is having their own experience, and that each person has a belief system which is the cause of the way they think and feel. Which means that in the same situation, if you have 5 or 10 people, you can have 5 or 10 different experiences of the same event. And this is really crucial to understand, because when you are very worried about pleasing other people, it's usually because you know about their belief system and you know that you can adjust your behavior to make this other person happy. But if you start to understand that happiness is actually an inside job, which depends on a person's belief system, then you can sort of free yourself from being this overly responsible person trying all the time to please someone else. So it's complicated, but when I work with people in therapy and they start to understand these things, it's very, very liberating for most people.
Yeah. It's funny because we're brought up in society to care about other people, obviously, which is, of course, something we should do, and put other people's needs sometimes before ourselves, whether it's in a family situation. I think that's most common, I guess, in a family situation. But and then when people start thinking, oh, no, I need to do more for myself and put myself first and think about my own feelings and my own energy levels or whatever it might be, they feel selfish. It goes against the grain of, no, I'm supposed to care more about other people than myself. So prioritizing your own self can feel selfish for some people, can't it?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely right what you say, but I think that we have to sort of slow it down and not make it so either or. In other words, I am definitely not saying that we should be selfish, egocentric, not care about other people. We should care about other people. We should treat other people with respect. All of these good qualities, I'm 100% recommending that. But to be a good person or to have a satisfying life or even to be a supportive family member, you also have to take care of yourself. So there has to be a healthy balance between finding your inner compass, listening to your inner guidance, prioritizing yourself sometimes, and also being a good supportive human being to your friends, your family, the people around you. So again, it's definitely a challenge, but to walk that balance is really the secret of having a successful life, you could say.
Yeah.
So it's really important not to make it either or, you know, I'm totally self-occupied and selfish, or I'm a doormat and always only thinking about other people. It has to be the middle way.
Yeah. And even that word selfish has such negative connotations, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It seemed to be a really negative word. Someone who's selfish, only cares about themselves and doesn't care about other people, which is obviously a horrible thing to think about.
Horrible.
But selfish doesn't have to be such a negative thing all the time.
Well, you could say self as a self-appreciation, self-love. It reminds me, I was a single parent for many years and 3 sons. And when I used to fly with them, when you take off and the stewardess always tells you about the oxygen mask and so on.
Yeah.
Well, the stewardess used to always come over to me and say, you know, if you have to put the mask on, you put it on. The mother has to put it on first and then take care of her kids. It's sort of a good example of what I'm talking about. In other words, if the mother doesn't put the oxygen mask on and faints, then she can't do anything for her children. So taking care of yourself is a prerequisite for being of service, of value, helping other people. So it's important to understand we have to take good care of ourselves if we want to do good in the world in general or in our family or wherever it is.
Yeah.
So it's really important to understand that.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy, isn't it? That kind of puts it all into perspective.
It does.
And how about the idea of being assertive? Some people are naturally assertive. Some people hate the idea of being assertive. How and why is that important, do you think?
Well, in other words, being assertive is a is a skill that most of us have never learned. In other words, having healthy boundaries, taking good care of ourselves, treating ourselves and other people with respect is a prerequisite, you could say, to living a happy life. And when someone is violating your boundaries or coming at you with stuff which is not appropriate to you, then learning to be assertive and to set a healthy boundary towards this other human being is a very, very important skill. But most of us, unfortunately, have never learned how to be assertive. And so that's why in several of my books, you have some of them, Hannah, healthy models for relationships in these books, where I have a lot about how to learn to be assertive. And to give you an example of an assertiveness technique, which is very effective and which I teach everyone who comes to me, it's called sandwich technique. The sandwich technique is a technique where when somebody is violating your boundaries or pressuring you into doing something that you don't want, how do you reply and set a healthy boundary? So the sandwich technique says that your reply, your sentences are made up of two parts. The first part of the sentence is you always acknowledge that you've heard the other person. And then the second part of the sentence is your reply. So in other words, if you're pressuring me to come to a party on Friday night and I don't really want to go and I want to say no, how can I do it in a respectful, constructive way? So I can say, Hannah, thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate it. It sounds like it's going to be a great event and I can't come on Friday. So in other words, the sandwich technique is a way of sort of, how would you say, softening the blow. Yeah. And being able to communicate in a kind and constructive and respectful way. Because when you acknowledge that the other person has good intentions, and then you acknowledge that you've heard the other person, everybody wants to be heard. Everyone wants to be respected and acknowledged. So if you start by giving that to the other person, then usually they'll listen to what your real message is. Mm. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, it's a very valuable tool, isn't it? If you need to send someone an awkward message, an awkward email or whatever, whether it's in a work setting or friendship, family, it's true. You start with something nice, you don't need to be horrible, obviously, but you get your point across if it's something negative, and then you end with a nice ending as well. And that's the sandwich.
That's the sandwich, exactly. And the other thing is, I often teach people, if you're really, really having difficulty in a situation, you don't know how to reply, or you don't know how to set a boundary, or you don't know how to say no, ask for time. That's another invaluable technique. In other words, someone comes at you with something, a request, the party, a work test, or whatever, say, I have to look at my calendar. Let me get back to you tomorrow, or let me think about it tonight when I get home from work. In other words, that you ask for time. And by asking for time, it's so helpful, because instead of getting upset and being sort of taken off guard, then you can withdraw and think about how to formulate, especially if you're going to say no, how you can do it in a positive, constructive way. So that's also a great tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if people want to find out about these subjects in more detail, we've got a couple of your books available on our website, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass and Healthy Models for Relationships, both in the bookshop section on TRE.radio by Barbara Berger, who we've been chatting with today. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.